From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. The American West today might be an entirely different place if Congress had listened to explorer and scientist John Wesley Powell 125 years ago. That's what historian Donald Worster believes.
We would not have, if Powell's ideas had carried through, any of our huge federal water projects. And we certainly would not have had anything like the massive urban growth that's taken place in the West.
Powell's 1878 report on the lands of the arid region described the parched American West and how to settle it without fighting over scarce water. Today, water remains an elusive and embattled resource. This week, we launch a year-long exploration of water in the West, beginning in the past with John Wesley Powell's vision. NPR's Howard Berkus reports.
John Wesley Powell understood the American West because he'd seen it with his own eyes. The one-armed Civil War veteran launched two daring and pioneering expeditions down the Colorado River, through the Grand Canyon, on some of the wildest whitewater on the continent, sometimes in an armchair strapped to a rowboat. The scientist in him took him beyond the canyon to Indian and pioneer communities where little rain fell and where springs, streams, rivers, and lakes charted the course of settlement.
He was the first American to try to address systematically the fundamental environmental reality of the American West.
Donald Worster is the author of A River Running West, The Life of John Wesley Powell.
The East is a green America. But the American West was a brown land. People had noticed, they couldn't help but noticing it as they went west in covered wagons. But Powell was the first to ask, why did that difference exist and what did it mean for the nation's future?
That difference is captured in this 1960 documentary titled The Real West, in which actor Gary Cooper draws the line of longitude which slices through the Dakotas, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas.
If you drop a line down the 100th meridian like this, everything on this side of it, with an annual rainfall of less than 20 inches, that was the West. The worst, some called it, said all it lacked to be paradise was plenty of water and society, which, of course, is all they lack in hell.
There was also strongly among a lot of Americans the feeling that God never intended for the West to be a desert. There was always going to be an abundance of water anywhere we went, and people had extravagant ideas about how many people could move into places like Utah and Idaho based on dreams and fantasies about water that was not there.
Homesteaders believed rain would follow their plows because that's what they were told by newspapers, railroads, speculators, and even scientists. They were lured westward by the Homestead Act and its promise of free public land. It was a cruel hoax, says William DeBuise, author of Seeing Things Whole, a John Wesley Powell anthology.
And many thousands of families made a go of trying to farm without irrigation in the arid lands, and they suffered extremely. It was a bitter double cross on those hopeful people, and Powell saw that. And he argued vehemently against the continuation of that nasty charade and argued instead that to make it all successful, we had to know what we had by way of water and where to store it, how to get it to the land.
DeBuise stands outside Embuto, New Mexico, along the Rio Grande River, where Powell established the nation's first systematic river gauge and the first training ground for federal hydrologists whom he hoped to deploy across the West.
He believed it was the role of government to hire and train the experts who could come to the West, inventory the resources, set up the laws and the framework and so forth within which settlement could take place and then get out of the way.
Powell wanted to stall homesteading, stop the waves of settlers moving across the plains and mountains. He wanted to plan settlement based in part on the places he'd already studied, Mormon villages in Utah, organized around water and irrigation.
Powell saw the people in the various communities carrying on irrigation, working together in a kind of democratic way to divide up the water, to share the work in building the ditches and irrigating the farms.
Historian Thomas Alexander stands along one of those early Mormon irrigation canals, which still carries water and ducks, just a short walk from his office at Brigham Young University in Provo, Utah.
Powell reinterpreted the Jeffersonian vision. How could you have Jeffersonian yeoman farmers in an area where there wasn't sufficient water? He was afraid that there'd be some kind of major corporate takeover, that things would be organized by corporate interest instead of on a democratic basis by the people.
Mormon settlers tapped mountain snowmelt and the streams, rivers, and lakes it created with irrigation ditches leading to crops. Powell hoped their cooperative model would work in secular settlements as well. He wanted to organize those settlements around water and watersheds. That would force water users, he believed, to use their scarce water resource wisely, because overuse or pollution would hurt everyone in the watershed. They'd also be better prepared to resist attempts to usurp their water.
Any city, Los Angeles, for example, would have had to deal with these local watershed groups and meet their terms.
Biographer Donald Worster.
For Powell, the water would not be taken out of the watershed or out of the basin and transferred across mountains, you know, hundreds of miles away to allow urban growth to take place. So L.A., if it existed at all, would have been a much, much smaller entity. Salt Lake City would be smaller. Phoenix would probably not even exist. Las Vegas would not exist. Denver would not be getting so much of its water from the western slope, etc.
Powell's utopian vision also focused on self-reliance. Farmers would spend their own money, not government funds, on the dams and canals needed to get water to them. And their use of water would be tied to their land. They wouldn't be able to sell their water separately to cities or syndicates. But that was all too much for a nation desperate to expand, says historian Donald Worster.
A number of Western congressmen said, oh, wait, whoa, this is too radical. There's too much planning in this. There's too much regulation. There's too much community control. This is not the American way. It would interfere with rapid development. It would interfere with free enterprise. Get the land into the hands of people as fast as possible. And so Congress took a look at this and said, no, this is not very practical for this country at this time.
3 months before Powell died in 1902, Congress launched a century of massive dam and canal construction, costing billions of dollars, all subsidized by the federal government. That fueled homesteading and corporate mega farms. Cities snapped up water rights and imported water hundreds of miles. Small farmers were overwhelmed by urban and corporate interests, and more water was promised than was sometimes available, triggering water wars. But some of Powell's vision survived in places like this, a field in Wyoming, where irrigation makes broccoli possible on desert land.
We've had such high heat that we've lost a lot of broccoli this year. But there's not a thing we can do about it.
Beryl Churchill watches as hired hands slice broccoli stalks with knives so sharp the workers wear steel mesh gloves for protection. The stalks fly into boxes on a rolling conveyor hanging on the back of a crawling wagon. Churchills have farmed here since 1909, when irrigation created a new town named after John Wesley Powell.
We have 5 to 6 inches of precipitation a year. There is no way that we can raise a crop with that kind of moisture. So at the time they came, Buffalo Bill Dam was being built, and the irrigation system was just in place. So this was just a prairie, sagebrush, cactus.
And nothing else. No Powell, Wyoming, population 5,300 now, with tree-lined streets and green lawns. No fields of broccoli, cabbage, malt barley, sugar beets, beans, and alfalfa seed. No 800 farmers producing more than $40 million in crops. John Wesley Powell would approve, says Robert Bonner, a native of Powell and a reclamation historian.
He would have been happy if every river in the West had been used up entirely and ran no water at all into the sea. He was, in that sense, not particularly an environmentalist. So the fact that water is being put to use to irrigate 93 to 95,000 acres that would otherwise not have been irrigated at all, surely that would have been something that John Wesley Powell would have been happy about. He would not have been happy to have seen it done by the federal government.
The federal government made it possible for water to reach this canal at the Churchill Farm. It's traveled 30 miles from the monstrous Buffalo Bill Dam through a tunnel more than 3 miles long and a series of canals. All that cost more than $3 million. The farmers in the irrigation district in and around Powell paid their share back, but interest-free, which is where the subsidy comes in. But historian Robert Bonner notes that there were limits to what homesteaders could do on their own.
The easy stuff that could be built by small farmers had already been done before the 1890s.
The federal government's resources were believed key to continued Western settlement. Some of that occurred as it did in Powell, with farms relatively small by today's Western standards, water rights tied to farmland, and cooperative water use.
It's an irrigation district which is made up of small farmers who are in control of their own destiny. And that is the kind of thing that was at the heart of what John Wesley Powell wanted to see happen.
But that's not the common story of the West, where Powell's vision was largely ignored. On the Churchill farm, cutter bees buzz in makeshift rectangular structures called bee houses. Each is about the size of a rabbit hutch, and they sit along fields so that the bees will fertilize seed crops. Mormon settlers compared themselves to bees as industrious and hardworking creatures. John Wesley Powell might say the same about the farmers in Powell, Wyoming, even though they incorporate just a few of his ideals. He'd have more to complain about elsewhere, especially California, where large corporations operate humongous farms and dominate water issues. He'd also probably wonder about the Colorado River, the place he first explored, where farmers and cities fight over water because there's not enough to go around. More on that tomorrow. Howard Berkus, NPR News.
There's more about Powell, Wyoming, John Wesley Powell, and our series on water on our website at npr.org.